Welcome to Victory GP. We're excited you've joined us, and we hope you're impacted and inspired by today's message.
There's the message part that God prepares, and then there's the inspirational part that the Holy Ghost... Oof. You have to stand. Put your hand on your heart. There's such a sweet flow. There's such a beautiful, beautiful river that flows. Comes from His throne, you know, and it flows out. And everywhere that that river goes, there's life. There's life. And this morning during worship, could you hear Him? Could you hear Him say, come back. Come back to your first love. Come back. Come back. Come back to the flow. Come back and do those things that you did at first. Can you hear? Can you hear what the Spirit says? Can you sense the life that is in Him? Whew. Makes your heart alive again. Brings you hope again. Restores you back to a first love again. Can you hear? Can you hear? Can you hear as the Spirit moves this morning? Can you hear? Can you hear? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You flow so well, Lord. You flow so well, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Stirring the hearts again, Lord. Stirring our hearts again, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If you sing in the Spirit, just respond to Him this morning, because He's so good. He's so good. And He's interested in you. It's you. It's you. Restoring first love. Restoring first love. Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord. Lord, just let that river flow to each one. Each one, Lord. Each one, letting us know, Lord, that it's okay to step into it. Letting us know that it's even okay, Lord, to play in it. You're the reprieve, Lord. It's you. You're the rest, Lord, that Isaiah spoke about. It's you. It's you, Lord. Lord, we don't need to run and hide. You're the rest. And you're the one who gives it. And you give it liberally. You give it abundantly to all who ask. But you tell your church, you tell them, be careful. Be careful that you don't miss the rest. That is in Jesus. Be careful that you don't miss Him. For no man gives it, but Jesus gives it. Thank you, Lord. Just do something. I'm not asking you to shake hands, but just take a look maybe at the person beside you or behind you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just with your eyes. I tell you that these are exceedingly precious days. And the people in this house are precious. And just some time ago, the Lord has been telling me that the person beside you is precious, for you do not know if you'll see that person again. For you do not know what the week holds. So when you see your brother and your sister, rejoice in your heart. For these are precious days and these are precious times, and your prayer is so precious. And you joining together with another sister and brother and loving them, precious in the eyes of the Lord. How precious are the lives of His saints. When you're able to meet again and worship again, I tell you, every Sunday that comes, we rejoice because we see each other again. We've made it again because you don't know what the days hold. Exceedingly precious are these days. Exceedingly precious in the eyes of the Lord are his saints. Thank you, Lord. You guys have done everything already today. What's there to say? Come on. Presence of God, spectacular worship, incredible prayer. Nice little message. There we go. Amen. Sheesh. Yeah. Thank you. Can you give praise and worship a hand as well? They were very on today. Woo. Sit, please, sit, yeah. Can you bring my drink? Yeah. Don't take the days for granted. They are precious days. And when you see someone beside you, again, men, rejoice. It is that love, when you love each other like that, it is that love that makes the world jealous. Yeah. It's that one. It's not the one that we're doing and the kindness, although glory to God for that. But when you cherish that you've seen him again. We made it another week. Glory to God. Not in fear, but when you see someone again and you rejoice, it's that love that draws the world. That's what they want. And tell you what, the rest, the hope and the peace, it's not found in the world. It's here. And you mix in that brotherly love and the love for the Holy Ghost and the Father. Oh boy, you got a recipe. Amen. Yeah. I do believe that I have a word for this church. I'm sure it's for everyone, but really for this church. I know you've been through some stuff. Say stuff. Stuff. Been through it, and God says, by the way, you'll go through it. I have my glasses here, just in case we want to get the proper rendition and not something that's mixed up because I can't see properly. thank you, Lord. You know, it used to be the days when the preacher would spit and people would want to get up there because they would think it's anointed. And things have changed. You want to talk like that, you know? Yeah. First love is very, very big right now. And whenever we gather together and worship like this, you know, you can sense it. It's hard to describe, but he's got a way of doing it, of bringing back that, the first thing, the first love, excitement and zeal and passion and hope and vigor and all of that stuff. He's got a way of doing it. It's hard to preach. It's easy to step in and live. Yeah. But we're also going through, and this church is as well, tremendous refining. And we as believers run from that word, but God says that's where power comes from. And if you avoid it, you also avoid his promises. Last days stuff is pretty popular right now. You know, all of that. And I've been reading in Daniel as well, and maybe it's a bit of homework for you. But in Daniel 11, there's God speaking through Daniel and saying, the enemy is going to come and he's going to flatter all of those who are against the covenant or who are against the ways of the church, thinking that there's something wrong with you, and he'll flatter them. And that's where we go to. But those who know their God will be strong and do great exploits. That's phenomenal. And it is a truth. But if you go, and you can do this later, just three verses past this, it says, and when you read it, but see the believers, they're going to go through something, and it's called a refining. And he says it's the purpose to refine you, to purify you, and to make you white. And my sense, and I mean, anyone could go, well, duh, this church is really going through a refining right now. And as precious is when you see the saints on a Sunday, I need to tell you, as precious is this refining that you're going through right now, and how you respond to this refining is going to determine the amount of power, and especially the power on your words, that happens to this church. If you defend yourself and attack those who are attacking you, you got your reward. That's it. if you attack those right now who are attacking you, I don't care if that's government or single people or whoever that is, if you attack them, your reward will be taken from you. There is never persecution or refining that does not come with authority and advancement. Never. It doesn't get preached much, but when you look at the word, and we will today, on the other side of that, and sometimes immediate, is tremendous authority on the weight of your words. However, do not use those to defend yourself. That part belongs to the Lord. And he's very, very good at it. He's very good at turning it for you, and he always does. And he's also very good at doing something to the person that attacked you, which you're not good at. Amen? You have something in Grand Prairie called terrible drivers. And I defend myself quickly. And if it wasn't for a wife who was correcting me all the time, yes, amen. I'm the only one, right? Work in progress, I am. Yes, I am. I want to show you something through the word, and we're going to hit it, and you're going to see something, and maybe some of you already know this, glory to God, but let it be revelation to you. Can you put up there, please, 2 Timothy 3? And it's actually Paul, and Paul's just, he's preaching, and he's telling everyone, he's saying, man, I've been through it. I'm going to give you a bit of a description, he says. And so he goes, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, Lystra. What persecutions I endured. And out of them all, the Lord delivered me. No, look, not from them all. Out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Not from. That's not even real. For a church, and especially for a church like this that proclaims the name of Jesus, delivering you from persecutions isn't even biblical. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ will suffer persecution. But on the other side of that, whew, the weight of your words. There's something that happens in the spirit when you go through it and you don't attack people that causes not so much in you, but it causes people's ears to be opened and their eyes to begin to see. And then when you're talking the same words you talked about before, all of a sudden they have weight and they touch the people's heart and they're cut. Who did that? Jesus did that supernaturally by something that you went through called persecution and refining. Which means this, here's the meaning. Inflicting pain and punishment on others unjustly. Is it true? Yes, totally. Does it get your emotions going? Whoa, you bet it does. Want some payback? Yes. The best way to pay back is to continue doing what God's called you to do. Stay true to his course, stay true. He will not, even this morning, he's not gonna pull back and leave you. I was laughing and crying at the same time in this place because of the presence of the Lord. How can that be? Don't you know there's sickness everywhere? Glory to God. Glory to God. From the process comes power and authority. And I want to show you how, so stay with me as we go through this. 1 Corinthians 16 as well, if you have that. It's verse 8 and 9, and actually it's Paul, and he's saying this, man, I'm on a journey, and Paul's doing his circuit, and he's hitting this church, and this church, and this church, and he's speaking here in Corinthians. I'm going here, I'm going to hit this one, and hit this one, and then he says this, but I'm going to stay at this church in Ephesus. I've got to stay here a little bit longer, yeah. He says, I'm going to tarry in Ephesus until Pentecost. Now look at this, for a great... an effective door has opened to me, and there are many adversaries. Because of what he was going through, and by the way, the Jews were on him, Those that slandered him, hate him. Alexander, the coppersmith or silver guy, the one who was doing all the idols of Diana, was persecuting him greatly. He talked about it later in the scriptures. He did me great harm. But a great and effective door has been opened to me. And he doesn't go on and say, I'm out of here. I am running enough of this. This is brutal. No. There is a great and an effective door that has been opened. And by the way, there's a lot of adversaries. Yeah. Equals persecution, equals refining, equals a great and effective door has been opened to this church. Yeah. What does that look like? I don't know. I can tell you this, it will be influence and it will be authority. How does that play out? I don't know. I'm just here to worship. And it was really good. But I tell this church this, and this is a message for this church. A great door has been opened for you. And what has looked like your demise, God will turn for you good. If you speak his words and do not attack and allow him to be your vengeance. Salvations, people set free, healings, all the things you want. You know how it comes? It comes when you get skinny. How do you get skinny? It's called refining. And you get skinny and you get quick and you get fast and boy, do you get hungry. And I can say this, in this church, there is a hunger. That hunger draws the Lord, brings you right back to the first things, where the things of earth grow strangely dim in the eyes of his, I forgot the words, glory and grace. Amen. Amen. That's this church right now. Door open means portal. It means opportunity. It means ears open and hearts ready. Amen. God is the one who turns the hearts. That doesn't matter if it's the leaders, the government, whatever it is. But your influence comes one way. Refining. Doors opened. A little bit of persecution. Amen. Woo. Let's go to Acts 5, please. Hey, what kind of word is this? What's this guy talking? What's this persecution word? I tell you what, I'll tell you, it'll bring you right back to your first love. It'll refine you. It'll purify you. You will sense his grace, his love, his promises like you have never sensed them before. Thank you, Lord, for comfort. But I tell you this, he will deliver you out of them all. And he's faithful to do it. So what you're going through right now, he will deliver you out of it. It may not look like what you want, but he will deliver you out of it and give you authority and give you a voice. And I know he's already started to do that. I don't want it to happen to me, but it's okay if it's going with you. Acts 5. Let's go to Acts 5. So the church is growing. They're making disciples. People are getting healed. The church is blessed, and the Sadducees are ticked off. The ones who have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. And they're upset, so they get them thrown into the jail. That's called persecution, by the way. Acts 5, verse 19 and 20, if we have them out there, we do. But at night, an angel of the Lord, what did he do? You're going to see a pattern as we go through this, that wherever the persecution happened, a door opened as well. God sends an angel of the Lord. Whatever happens in the spiritual reflects in the physical. So God opens up the door, the prison doors, brought them out and says to them, go stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life. You want a word for this church? God is opening up a door because you're going through refining. And as you do, it's like the Spirit of the Lord says, from the word, go and speak the words of this life and watch what he will do. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Woo! That's a good word. Thank you, Lord. False witnesses, persecution, all that stuff, Jesus delivers. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Acts 12, let's go there as well. I'm just kind of doing a bang, 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 and take a look at this. Acts 12 is Herod, in verse 1, stretches out his hand to harass the church, which directly means persecute the church. Kills James, throws Pete in jail. But right here is where the big deciding line is. I mean, here is Herod, who represents government. So government comes down, harasses the church, does damage to the church, inflicts pain to the church, throws Pete, the leader, in the jail, and everyone else, the rest of the church, is left kind of outside for a moment, just outside of what's happening, and they have a great opportunity. They could have attacked, they could have went around and got on Facebook or whatever it was at that time and told everyone how nasty Herod is, called him down, chewed him up, and it wouldn't have been hard because it's true. You know how bad this government is? You know how bad this Roman rule and all of this stuff that's happening? But they didn't. Boy, they could have. Boy, we could have. The church prays. And they just start to pray. And they're praying, and it's fervent. And it doesn't mean 24 hours a day. It means from the heart. They just continued. It was on their heart. They prayed. They prayed, God, intervene. God, intervene. Like that. Let's go to the scripture now. Where did I say we're on 12, aren't we? Yeah, we are. Good. So when they were past the first and the second guard posts, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which did what? Every time. Kept their heart right. Worshipped like crazy. Blessed the Lord. Didn't attack. Every time. The doors were opened. And they went out and they went down the street. And immediately the angel departed from them and left them right there. What does that look like for you guys? I don't know. I don't know. It's going to be unique for every single church. Ooh. I'm a little bit jealous, but also quite apprehensive, too. Don't you ever ask for persecution. And don't you ever go out looking for it, because you'll get it, and it'll be like the seven sons of Sceva. You'll be running naked and screaming. That just looks bad on the church, okay? Don't. It's probably on air and stuff, so keep your clothes on. Do it right. Amen? But really, you're in a very, very precious spot. Because what you guys could do stupid quite easily. You could. You can. But to go the direction that God wants you to do, it's only going to come by hearing his voice and by using his sword. That's the only way. And to sit here and to hear, you know, here's what we're going to do this week, is just seek the Lord in prayer. And pray and pray and pray. That's what we're going to do. It's beautiful. So do I want the refining and this for my church? You know what I do? But I'm also apprehensive and I'm not looking for it. It's coming. And I just hope that I can operate as wisely as what's happening here. Precious days. Amen. All right. Acts 16 as well. I'm just going to show you guys so that there's no way to refute this. And I'm going to keep going until you can go, this is so in my face, this is so real that this is the word. Acts 16, this time Paul's thrown in jail and he's persecuted. There's a slave girl and she's got a demon in him. And people are capitalizing off of a person that's got a demon in him. That's how they made their money, because she would fortune tell. Probably not so far off from today either. So Paul's had enough of this and decides to set her free and cast that demon out, which ticks off all the people of the world, and they throw him into jail. And he's actually beaten, and he's whipped, and his feet are in stocks. But again, how you respond to your persecution determines what is going to happen. 25 and 26, if we can have that up there. Acts 16, please. I love this one. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were playing and singing hymns to God. Now, praying, yeah. What did I say? Oh, well, same. Yeah. If you do it correctly, let that be a lesson to you, okay? If it's hard work, you're doing it wrong. It's okay to play in the anointing. Amen. Good recovery. Thank you. When you read this, I've often put myself in that place. I've wondered, what would I do if that was me in there? Like, you know, if I get angry when someone's driving and cuts me off and does something, I often wonder, what would I do if I was put in this situation? But you would do really well. Persecution and refining has a way of making you skinny. It has a way of making all the things of the world seem not so important anymore. It has a way of making you and all your pride and all that stuff just kind of drop down. And it's got a way of making you draw really close to the Lord. And funny enough, and only God can do it, it gives you such a gratitude for Him, for what He's done for you, for how good He is. So if you're ever in this position, you will find yourself doing the same. Singing and playing. Amen. But here's the thing. The prisoners were listening to him. Suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened. That didn't come without persecution, and that does not come without refining. Church, you are in a very good place, although it looks not so good. And I tell you that there's doors opening for you today. What they look like, you will find out by the way that you pray and worship and the people that come to you. This one was immediate fruit. Doors were opened, and the prison guard, the guy who whips him and beat him, he heard it. Heard the earthquake, was messed up, was about to kill himself. Do yourself no harm. Here's the guy who was doing all the persecuting. Isn't that a word for you? Ooh, there's weight on that one. Here's the guy who was doing all the persecuting. God messed him up. I mean, fear of God. It is a terrible thing to fall into the hands of the living God. This guy was full of fear and trembling and looks at Paul and goes, "Sirs," very respectful in that regard, "sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And because Paul's gone through refining, and so much of it he can answer from his heart and not from the experiences that happened to him. Because if you go from your experiences, I'll tell you what you can do, buddy. Really? Refining knocks that off. Paul knows by the Spirit, and he tells him, you call on the Lord. You, not just you. This is what an open door does. Your whole household shall be saved. And it was. Boy, anointing right now. Gives his life to the Lord, him and his whole family, and are all baptized right there. How? How? Refining and persecution. That's how he does it. And out of them all, the Lord will deliver you. And not from them all, because it's his way. Lord, bring me back. Lord, bring me back. Lord, I want to love you more. Okay, I will. And here's what it looks like. And it's not new, actually. It's all the way through my sword, my word, all the way through. There's just such a weight on it. There's such a weight on it. And if you think it's a heavy word, it's actually a liberating word. And it's freedom. You don't have to protect yourself anymore. He is. And he's really good at it. You don't have to strive to try and find him, to find out if he loves you. In that place, when all the stuff gets knocked off, all the self-defense, all the hoarding, all the everything, all the fear. Do you know what's left? His love. And then you start looking at people differently as well. And you see them for what they are. Even the ones that are persecuting you. It's church is in a good place. Can I get an amen? See, in our church, every place is different. Every place is different. So coming back here is beautiful, beautiful. You have a different liberty, but you fought different wars than we have. You have a different covering over Grand Prairie than we do in Lac La Biche, so it's different. And so in ours, you have a lot of people who are, they're afraid. They're scared of this. And so for me to come and just bring the word and smite them with the word and say, hey, smarten up, it doesn't work. You have to address them right where they're at and then lift them and bring them. And that's exactly how Jesus does it. So a lot of my amens in my church is a soft amen. And I can have a soft amen. And everyone goes, amen. Because they think at that level they're being safe. But at least faith is being built. And you can bring them up. 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 But before I bring them into the end times, I've got to bring them to the heart of Jesus and his promises. If they will learn his promises of how good he is, and that's all they learn, they will tell others. You only tell what you know. Okay, I didn't give you guys this, and that's fine, but I'm going to give you a moment to go there. Go to the book of Revelation, please. Now, there's seven churches in Revelation that Jesus is talking to. And I believe that you can be, I say this for every church, you can be any one of these churches at any time. It's not like this is the one you are. I mean, your actions can, or apathy, or whatever you're doing, you can be one of those churches. So probably the greatest place that we've been in as a church locally, or a whole, that God's bringing us out of is Laodicea. And just a little bit asleep. But God's bringing us out, and he does it his way. Thank you, Lord. So we're in Revelation 3, and I believe that right now you guys are going through your Philadelphia moment. So you're in Revelation 3, if we're all there, and verse 9 says this. Now, this is Jesus. Now, the way we know Jesus and preach Jesus sometimes is totally accurate, but when you're dealing with last times Jesus, he's pretty black and white. He's just speaks it as it is and just take it. So verse 9 says, indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, but they lie. Indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet and know that I have loved you because you've kept my command to persevere. That's you. Now, here's the part that just solidifies it. Let's go back up to verse 7 where he's saying, you are the angel, or sorry, to the angel of the church of Philadelphia. These things says he who is holy, who is true, who has the key of David. He who opens and no one shuts. He who shuts and no one opens. I know your works, Grand Prairie. See, I've set before you an open door that no one can shut, for you have a little strength, and you've kept my word and have not denied my name. I believe this is where you are now. You didn't open this door. Jesus did it. And he did it because you're going through something. Amen? And no one can shut it, by the way. What you see outside, what happens physically, even if this place was to close, the enemy cannot shut the door that was opened to you. No man can shut this. No devil can shut this. See, behold, Jesus says, I have done this. I know that you have a little strength. You've persevered and you have not denied my name. Amen. The closer I draw to his heart, you can get close to his heart, and the closer you get, you can take some pretty solid meat. He is, Song of Solomon, you know, just it blows me away, but it's like a picture of the church. You've got the, is it Shunammite, or what is she? Shunammite, whatever, her. that lady. And it actually says, you can go there with homework for you too. Let's read around chapter 5. She says this, I'm sleeping, but my heart's awake. So that's a description of the church. But they love Jesus, but just kind of sleeping a lot of stuff. And Jesus shows up. And he's knocking on the door. And instead of answering it, she's talking about it. Look how my lover knocks on the door and all of this kind of stuff. See, I will talk about it. He's knocking on the door. He keeps knocking. And she's preaching about how he's knocking on the door. Well, he's knocking. Yeah, well, that's the thing. I'm like, get up, woman. But you know, when it's describing you, you're saying it to yourself, right? So finally, when she gets up to go, he left. He didn't leave her, but he withdrew. I tell you something, that starts to make someone hungry. So she gets out, and she goes looking for him. And as she's going looking for him, there's different people, they call them watchmen on the wall. They beat her. She's looking and hungry enough to look for her Jesus. They beat her and persecute her. That doesn't stop her. She gets this hunger, and something happens right after that she took this bit of persecution. She goes out, and it says the daughters of Jerusalem find her and go, who are you looking for? Who is this guy? And so she goes, It's my beloved. She starts to describe Jesus to the daughters of Jerusalem. It starts to go on after this. They don't want to just hear about him. Then they tell her this, we will go and look for him too with you. All of that, from getting hungry, taking a little bit of refining and persecution, and then the people outside are going, who is he? I'll go too. That's the church. Right now, that's the church. That's this church right now. What happened? I don't know. I don't know. I was just happy to come here and worship. That was really good. What you do with your moment determines what's going to happen shortly after. And from what I can see, this church is in a hungry place. And it's pursuing the beloved and looking for him wherever he is. That's what I've brought for you today, and I want to pray for you. But I know that as I'm praying for you, strangely enough, I'm praying for myself. You guys are forerunners. You are. And that's been since Pastor Paul and Jan have come here as well, and they have been a plowshare and plowing through, and people come and they reap the rewards. But there's been some wonderful times of rejoicing. And there's been some hard times of pushing through. But on the other side of that has always come growth and direction, every time. Every time. So would you wish it on anyone? No. Would you change it, though? No. No. Because on the other side of that, I'm so much better than the person was going through it. I don't want to go through that part again, but I can tell you what's on the other side is very fruitful. And it's very pure, and it's very holy. Amen? And then Charlotte takes over and worships with and continues on with. And God says, that's wonderful, and the enemy comes to test it. I'm going to test that thing. And God says, well, that's fine. I'm going to use that as a refining, and I'm going to use this moment of persecution. And what you're doing for evil, devil, I'm going to turn it for good. And I'm going to give them influence, and I'm going to give them a voice. And that voice is going to go forward, and it's going to have such weight on it. Why? Because they've been refined. They don't just have a voice where they're beaking off, and they've got, here's my latest scripture. You know, there's places in the world that they won't listen to you unless you've been through some sort of persecution. You're illegitimate. They love you and you're wonderful, but there's something that happens in a refining. Amen? So how God puts those two things together, I don't know, but I will say this for your church. Do not go through refining and miss the love that he's doing right now. If refining does not draw you together, then you're going to have to go through it again. But let it draw you together, and let it be a love that is not a preachy love. It is a, actually love means charity, which means give. And that's of self. Let it be that people see that love, and not arrogance and not the pride, because that's been knocked off and they want a piece of that. Yeah. Amen? Amen. I need to bless this church. Can you stand with me? I need to bless this church. Oh, Father, this is an awesome church, and Lord, I just see a stake in the ground. It's like a sword that's been stuffed into the ground, pushed into the ground, driven into the ground as a marker and as a place, Lord, that people will not back from. Father, I bless this church. I thank you for weight on the words, but I also thank you for the beautiful sweetness of the refining moment that is happening right now. Lord, I thank you that you're not watching from afar, but you are so involved in this whole thing. Father, I pray even right now that anything that is not of you in the way of attitudes or false brethren, even in attitude, would be knocked off in the mighty name of Jesus. And perhaps, Lord, you would grant repentance to those people, to the acknowledging of the truth, that they might taste and see that you are good. But as for those that persecute, Lord, this church blesses them right now and releases that blessing to them. In Jesus' name, not the way that we think, but we release you, Lord, you, and the way that you bless, and the way that you work, and the way that you refine, we release that. Now, Father, I pray that the word would just be jumping off as it's preached and shared, whether that's in small homes, whether that's in the large church, and that, Father, brotherly love, love towards one another would be to a depth that has not been tasted for so long as this church comes back to their first love and finds its place in you. Jesus, Jesus, Lord, this is a work of your hands, for no one could do it. This is a work of your hands, and you are doing this work, and you're drawing them together, Lord, hand in hand, arm in arm. You're drawing them together in doing this. Lord, you are even knitting hearts together that when one speaks, it's like the voice of 10. Lord, when two speak, Lord, it is like 1,000. It's like the sound of rushing waters, for you will back them up, Lord. I'll just speak this and say this. I just sense that even Pastor Paul, with you in the direction that God is going, that as you speak in different areas, it will be that rushing water. It will sound like many waters. It'll have the weight like many waters, and it'll go and it'll have an impact. It'll have an impact, and let it do it. I also see that flow from this church. Now, Father, I'm asking for a wise and a discerning spirit to come upon this church in Jesus' name. Lord, that it would even be like the times of David, that though the enemy would want to attack, he could not outflank or outwit David in any way. In Jesus' name. Lord, you caused wisdom, and you caused wisdom to come upon Pastor Charlotte as well. Wisdom that she would discern and know how to move about and move about and move about and not get trapped. In Jesus' name.
and also know the wisdom to not cut a hem
Thanks
at all.
For listening to this message from
For
Victory
out of that
Church
time comes great power and great authority.
You can stay connected with us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by using
now, Lord,
at Victory Church GP.
Knit their hearts together.
If you have any questions,
knit it together.
Would like to access our online resources,
knit it together,
or would like
Lord,
to sow into this ministry,
that
you
that
can visit
precious,
us at www.victorygp.com.
Would be upon each
you can
one.
Also text to give. Just
that
text
as they come together for the following times, Lord, that it would be
prophet.
Like in the time of Acts
Thanks
when they were together again
Victory
and
GP.
They saw each other
Reach,
and they took such joy in seeing one another again. Jesus, 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 Jesus.